Well, ladies and gentlemen, praise the Lord. The Lord our God is mighty, and he is with us in such a mighty way. We are thankful. Are you thankful today? Here we are in the month of December, already the last month of the year. And so, yeah, I'm amazed how quickly the year went by, but yet when you look back on it, it seems like it took a long time to go by, yet it also, living through it, it seemed like it went so fast. It's kind of amazing, isn't it? Well, anyway, that's my interpretation. Everybody can have their own interpretation of how this year went by. But anyway, we're glad to have you here today on this live radio service tonight as we go to the Word of God. We're going to do something a little different tonight. I have a message for you that's freshly prepared, but I also I want to play a classic. One from the past, and hopefully that'll bless you. It's not a real long message, and then I'll share the live message after that, and then we'll do some deliverance, and that should take up the whole 2 hours, probably. But first, we have a little bit of news for you tonight. The latest CDC data reveals, well, they're finally revealing their data, the majority of COVID-19 deaths are vaccinated people. Well, is that any wonder? We already knew that. It's about time somebody admits it there. So unfortunately, the majority of COVID-19 people that die are vaccinated people. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem bans TikTok for state government workers because she warns that it is a Chinese intelligent gathering device. And so she banned it for all state employees, government agencies, and contractors that use state devices. So, yeah, but you can't blame her for that. There obviously is a Chinese intelligence gathering. We don't use TikTok. Gender-fluid Biden official Sam Brinton charged with a felony for stealing a woman's luggage. Wow, this man dresses up as a woman. He's the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Office of Spent Fuel and Waste Disposition in the Department of Energy. That's what he does, or he thinks he's a she, I guess, stealing a woman's luggage at the airport, and he got a felony for it. Wow. Shouldn't have been doing that. But, you know, there's some problems there, obviously, for him to want to grab a woman's luggage, and maybe he thought he was going to find something new to dress up in. I don't know. But anyway, Biden approved oil production in, amazingly, not in the United States, of course, in Venezuela, a communist dictator country. Yeah, he won't allow it here on our own land when we have plenty of oil to operate this nation on and even export some of it. But no, he won't allow that. That's because he's not for this nation, obviously, by the things that he does. He was up, Macron visited America, and he shook hands with Macron and wouldn't let go for 42 seconds. Excuse me, 42 seconds. And Macron trying to pull away. I watch a video. Amazing. So something's wrong there with that man, obviously. Well, excuse me. The Senate ignores conservative concerns, passes the Democrats' same-sex marriage. I'm going to have to get some water just a moment. Very good. Thank you for your patience there. Needed some water. All right. The Senate ignores conservative concern, passes Democrat same-sex marriage bill with 12 Republican votes in addition to all the Democrats' votes. And this opens up and exposes Americans to predatory lawsuits by leftist activists. Just what these Republicans, what are they? Are they rhinos, Republican in name only to do that? Obviously, they're against Christianity to do such a thing, produce this bill, a Democrat-created bill, a leftist bill, and it's anti-Christian, pro-LGBTQ. Well, we see a lot going on in the churches today. Episcopalian Church lost nearly 60,000 members in 2021. Of course, much of that is their embracing of the homosexual agenda. The Gospel Coalition uses the Book of Ruth to defend same-sex civil unions, another twisting of the Word of God. They were trying to say that Naomi and Ruth were perverted. Well, they didn't call it perverted. They called it in a same, you know, sex type situation. And really? That's not biblical. You're twisting the Word of God. The Bible never even leans in that direction. And, of course, we know that. But people like that don't get it, obviously, and don't believe the Bible correctly because they have demons interpreting the Bible to them. Just like these pastors, like Rick Long, pastor of Grace Church, a mega church in Arvada, Colorado, preached a pro-LGBTQ sermon telling about how a married lesbian couple started coming to his church and were shortly afterwards baptized while still living together in sin. Okay. And they were not getting out of living together. Another megachurch in Orlando, Florida, First Baptist, has repeatedly baptized and affirmed unrepentant, openly practicing homosexuals and lesbians, Pastor Dan Uth. So what's going on in the church today? What direction is this going? Look at Duke Christian University publishing a book praising disgusting homosexual and queer sexual acts. This thing is really, I'm concerned that churches are like that. So what kind of churches are they? Are they really Christian churches or are they something else? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves when we see this going on. Or are just, you know, they're Christian people in the church, but the pastors are compromising and leading the people in the churches into their own compromise. That's sad anyway, but we see this sort of thing going on. Lord have mercy. We pray that it will stop and not continue to spread like some kind of horrible cancer and disease. But how many people, you know, really know what they're dealing with when they're dealing with the devil and demons like they are? And embracing these false doctrines and lying dark doctrines of devils. New Disney series depicts children saying, "We love you, Satan." That's right. A Disney New Christmas miniseries, The Clauses, it depicts children dancing with letters that are supposed to spell out, "We love you, Santa." But the children, quote, accidentally got mixed up and spelled Satan instead. Well, they just spoke what Disney believes in the first place. They love Satan or they wouldn't do the things that Satan promotes. So they should have deleted that scene, but you know what? They didn't. So you think that's innocent, little funny mistake? It's not even funny to me. It's not an innocent little funny mistake. It's revealing the whole thing there behind Disney. And it isn't God behind them, that's for sure. Their God, the God of this world, not my God. But we see a situation where they say the truth about themselves. We love Satan. Now, really? I don't love Satan. I hate him because the Bible commands us to hate evil, and Satan is the epitome of evil. So I cannot love Satan. Do you love Satan? I certainly don't. I have no love for him. The Bible just doesn't say that we're to love Satan. Well, nowhere does it tell us to do that. Oh, well, the deception just grows deeper among many. as we live in the latter days, and that's what the Bible said, many would be deceived in the latter days, and that's what we're living in today. We're living in the latter days. So don't be surprised at all the wickedness that's going on, even though it does surprise us sometimes how dark people get. Yeah. So anyway, Nancy Pelosi announces she's stepping down and not going to seek any political office this time, because the House is now Republicans took the House. They have the majority there, so she's no longer Speaker of the House, House Majority Speaker. So she's going bye-bye. Well, what's the old saying? Don't let the door hit you on the way out. You know, just that's good to get rid of that witch, that evil person that has been twisting things and loving and promoting abortion and LGBTQ stuff that is really an abomination in the sight of God. So, bye. We pray they'll be better. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we have tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word again tonight with your beloved people. Ask your blessing on each and every one of them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for divine protection, Father, in this day and hour that we're living in, when so many things seem to be going in a direction that is not good, that is not godly, that is not according to your word, Father. But Lord, we know that you're faithful and true, and you're going to take care of your children no matter what happens in this world, and that you love us because we belong to you, Father. You bought us with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We've been bought, and we belong to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you that we've been brought into the family of God. And we are so grateful and thankful tonight. And we appreciate what you've done for us so much, Lord. We thank you that our sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus as far as the east is from the west. And Lord, you don't remember our sins and iniquities anymore. We might remember them, but Lord, you don't. And we thank you that you don't. We thank you that you're working grace in our lives, Father. You're working in our lives day by day, making us more and more like Jesus. And it's certainly a lifetime work, because none of us ever seem to arrive at that point where we're totally like Jesus, because we still deal with sin and we still deal with failures and mistakes in this world. But we are not a failure. We may fail, but we are not failures, because you bought us with a price. We belong to you. We're sons and daughters of the living God. We're kings and priests of the Most High. We're saints of God. That's who you declared us to be in your word, and we believe your word tonight, Lord. And we get ourselves in agreement with your word tonight, and we praise you for that, and we give you all honor, all glory, and we just ask your blessing on each of our lives, Father, that you would put your will in our life, that we would walk in the perfect will of God, the perfect and best will of God, and any devil that tries to stop us from walking in that, we bind them in Jesus' name. And Lord, we lose the blessing of your best and perfect will for us, and Lord, that sometimes we don't always know what that is, Lord, but we ask you to order the steps of the righteous, as you said you would in the book of Psalms. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for ordering our steps and leading us in the right way. Even if we start to mess it up and go the wrong way, you're going to get us on track to go your way. But we thank you for the will of God for each one of us here together, that's gathered together and listen to this broadcast, Father. We thank you that we will walk in the will of God in Christ Jesus. We praise you for that, Father. We cover this broadcast with the blood of Jesus. Thank you for, Lord, your blessing on it. Thank you, Lord, for the angel of the Lord taking care of it, Father. We just thank you for moving by your spirit here today, and give you all honor, all praise, all glory, and minister to every listener to this broadcast in the name of Jesus. We praise you. We praise you for miracles, signs, and wonders in our lives, Father. We thank you that we believe in them and we expect them, and we do see them for your glory. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody say thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to do a classic tonight from the past, a sermon that I taught a number of years ago. So we'll just bless you with that tonight, and then I will come back and share a live message with you also. As we have time, hopefully I'll finish mine. If not, well, I guess we won't have my full message for you, but I do have a good message for you tonight. So, but first of all, I want to share this day, message, Kingdom Living is the title, and then later we'll talk Danger Zone, Wrong Speaking. It's my message, live message for tonight. Are you ready? Let's get started. Amen.
Kingdom Living, how to do it. Kingdom Living, how to. Lord, we ask you to bless the Word of God this morning as we learn, as we grow, as we hear some things that will help us to mature in grace and to grow in God and to become all that He wants us to be. And we give you the praise and the glory for it. Ask you to speak to every heart this morning. And we ask you to reveal truth to us today that will make us everything that we can be in Christ. In Jesus' name, everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'm ready to receive. Everybody say that. Okay, you're ready. Kingdom Living, how to. This one is going to be a challenge for you. Are you set free from your self-life yet? That's a question for you today. Are you set free from your self-life yet? From self-rule, self-preservation, selfishness. See, if your self-life, if your carnal nature is controlling you and dictating to you, then you will live, then you are marred. What do you mean, marred? Well, you're a vessel, right? The Bible says you're a vessel. The Lord calls us a vessel. Well, you're a marred vessel in the potter's hand. Who is the potter? The Lord is the potter, and we're on His wheel. God is forming us. And if we're full of self and not full of the Spirit, but more full of self, then He is going to have to do some work on us, right? Let's go over to Jeremiah 18:1. What does He do with a marred vessel? Let's look at this. Jeremiah 18:1. See what He does with when we're marred. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. And there, 18:1, Jeremiah. Go down to the potter's house, verse 2, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So what does he do when it's marred? He made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Now, this is something we don't really like to hear, but you know what? He's going to grind us to powder if we're marred in His hands and make another vessel out of us. Okay? He that has ears, let him hear. He's going to grind you to powder and reform you into the image that He wants you to be in. See, your life, I mean, it can be pictured as a vessel. And if the vessel becomes marred while he's working on it, then the potter is going to have to reduce it to powder, and then he's going to remake something beautiful or something that he can use in his hand. Something that'll be useful to him. Something that'll be beautiful. Okay, that's what he's going to have to do. Is that fun? No. Not necessarily fun for us. But he's going to have to do it if there are things in our lives of self that we just determined to live our way and determined to do things our way, okay? And so here's the problem today. We as vessels are not usually willing to allow Him to reduce our lives to powder so that He can remake us as He chooses. What do? We rebel. We kick. We scream. We say, no, Lord, I want to do it my way. And you know, too many have been reluctant to really trust the Lord, the potter, with their lives. So I got to ask you a question. Do you really trust the potter with your life? Do you really? They say they do. But a lot of times today in today's church, it's nothing but lip service. There's a whole lot of lip service going on today in the Church of Jesus Christ in this country. A whole lot of lip service. There's a lot of lip service, but little real trust and little real commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ in the church today. And if we're going to grow up and we're going to move upward in the Lord, which is my desire, and I hope that's your desire, to grow up into the Lord and move upward instead of downward or backward, then if we're going to do that, this processing of the Lord, this putting on the potter's wheel is necessary for you to become what you can be in Him. This learning to trust the Lord with our lives is necessary. Say, it's necessary. Uh-oh. It is necessary, though. Let's go to Job 42 and see what happened. He was on the potter's wheel. Let's see what he finally said in Job 42:5. After he'd been on the potter's wheel quite a while here. Job 42:5, right before Psalms. It says that in verse 5, it says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now, notice it now, something's changed. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. How many people are hearing of him by the hearing of the ear in church today? All over the country, they're hearing. People are hearing everywhere, but they're not seeing. But he said, now my eye seeth thee. See, a lot of people sit in church, but they just don't get it. You know what I'm saying? Unless it comes home to you, you hadn't got it. Unless you get a revelation by the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you in your heart, you didn't get it. You didn't really see. And you see, so there's a whole lot of people today hearing with the ear, but they ain't seeing. You know, they aren't getting it. It's not just getting home to them. You know, you've had the light go on in your life on something scripturally, and you say, wow, I get it now. I see it. You know, so a lot of people hearing, but they aren't seeing. See? They're not really seeing what the Lord is wanting to say. And this is what Job said, and here's where most Christians are today. They've heard with the hearing of the ear, but God wants to take you past that to where my eye now sees. You know, I see with the eye of my spirit. I got the revelation. I got the understanding. You know, now my eye sees. It really got it. And see, Job had been set free from the self-life. How did he get set free from the self-life? He went through the fire. He went through the refining process. And that selfish, Adam-centered life, he was set free from that now. And now he said, well, man, I see now, you know. I heard with the hearing of the ear, but now, man, I see it. I see it. Now he could clearly see the Lord, and he trusted him so much, he said, though the Lord slay me, yet will I trust him. You remember he came to that place where he could say, though the Lord slay me, yet will I trust him. Are you there yet? You know? Are we there yet? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Because he wants to slay all of us, really. And you know, if he does slay you, will you keep trusting him? What does he want to slay? He wants to slay our stubborn self-rule, our rebellion, our have to have it our way in us. He wants to slay that. He wants to put that to death. You know? Will you trust him to do that? Our having to have it our way or the highway, you know? He wants to put that to death in our life. See, Job came to the place where he allowed the Lord to do whatever he wanted to do with him. Are we there yet? Most of us may not be, but we're headed that way, you know. And if you keep hearing the word here, you'll get there eventually, or you'll run, one of the two, because a lot of Christians are running today. They don't want to receive that kind of a word because it's too hard for them. They don't want to change. They like it the way it is. They like their self-rule, their selfish rule. You know? Hallelujah. What an exciting message today, Pastor. We needed to allow him to fine-tune us, to fine-tune our lives. No matter what it takes or how much pressure is needed to form us and to tune us into a vessel that he could use. I mean, it takes pressure to tune you. Oh, boy. Isaiah 1:19. Let's go over there. Let's try that one here. See if y'all can take that. Isaiah 1:19. This is good news, folks. I'm going to teach you how you become willing and obedient so that you can eat the good of the land today. Isaiah 1:19. You want to eat the good of the land? You know what the good of the land is. We're going to find that out. Isaiah 1:19. Everybody there? Found the location? 1:19. Here we go. It's a real short scripture, but this is what we're going to spend a few minutes teaching right now. If you be willing and obedient, say willing and obedient, then the result is you shall eat the good of the land. Right, if you're willing and obedient, that's the condition to meet, then you're going to eat the good of the land. To be willing means that your self-life no longer controls and rules your desires and your actions. That's one of the things it means here. To be willing means that your self-life is no longer going to control you and rule your desires and your actions. Okay, what is going to rule your desires and actions? The Word of God. God is going to rule. The Holy Spirit within you. Okay? And see, most of us don't become willingly. We have to be processed. We have to be worked on by the Lord to get us to where we become willingly. See? God has to do a work in us. We have to be formed into being willing. We have to be formed into that. And so that's the process. To be willing is to have unconditionally yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ the full control of your life and all that pertains to your life. That is to be willing. Have you unconditionally yielded your life to Him yet? If not, then you're not willing yet. You've still got to do some work on you. Okay? And there's no sin in not having done it yet. You know, every one of us is at different places in our walk with the Lord, okay? It's just something that you got to realize that, you know, He wants you to be willing and obedient so you can eat the good. Not so you can be miserable, but so that you can eat the good and have a good instead of the bad, instead of reaping self, reaping the whirlwind, reaping the junk of having it your way, okay? Because God knows best. Can you agree with that? Look at your neighbor and say, God knows best for you. He does. He knows best for you. I know you might think that you know best for you, but He knows best for you. He knows what's best for your life. And so to be willing is to have unconditionally yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ the full control of your life. That's what it means to be willing. Have you done that? And all that pertains to your life. We must all come to the place where every part of our being desires the very best that the Lord has for us. And His best plan, not our best plan. Okay, Lord, process me. Make me willing. Now let's look at obedience. We'll come back here in a minute. You can hold it if you want. But Romans 1:5 tells you how you can be obedient, because you can't be obedient on your own power. You can't be obedient. You've tried to be obedient, and you're not very good at it. Religious people are trying, and they can't, so they're miserable. How do we become obedient? Well, here's the key here that Paul gives us in Romans 1:5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. There's a key in here for you. To be obedient. Most people think of obedience as something they have to struggle real hard to do and to become obedient. Oh, it's so hard to be obedient. It seems like I just try so hard to be obedient. I just can't do it. I try to do the right thing and I do the wrong thing. But read this scripture. What is for obedience? Grace. Grace is for obedience. Not everybody here is an apostle, but everybody can receive grace. Okay? So by grace, by whom we have received grace for obedience to the faith. That's why you get grace, for obedience to the faith. Does that make sense? Do you see that there? You need grace or you can't be obedient. You need grace for obedience to the faith. Otherwise, how can you obey the faith? That's why we've been given grace. You couldn't do it under the law. We tried to do it under the law. The Bible says we needed a better covenant. That's why we got the new covenant. We tried under the law to become, you know, to be obedient, but Israel was not very good at being obedient. They kept falling. They kept falling into sin. They kept messing up. They kept desecrating the Sabbath. They kept falling into idolatry and all kinds of stuff because they couldn't do it. So we needed a better covenant. And today there's a movement among Christians today to go back under law, especially this messianic Jewish thing. They want to go back under the law, go back under the law, keep the law, keep the law, keep the law. And I'm telling you, Galatians rebukes that. Galatians says it's vain, it's foolishness for you to try to go back under the law. It didn't work then and it isn't going to work now. Okay? It's grace that we live under today, not the law. Remember, grace and truth came by who? The law came by who? Moses. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Which one do you want? You want the law? You can be miserable with it. You can have it. But you got to keep the whole thing or you ain't going to make it in. That's what the Bible says. It says you break one thing. Uh-oh. You've messed up. You're in trouble. You're going to hell. I'd rather live under grace. Yeah. I'd much rather that. But let's see what it says here. It says, by whom you have received grace for obedience to the faith. That's what we receive grace for obedience, folks. Grace is the essential ingredient to be obedient. Without grace, you're going to remain in rebellion and disobedience. Okay? Because grace will cause you to be obedient if you allow it to do its work in you. Grace is the divine, let me define, grace is the divine empowerment or empowering that creates within you the ability and the desire to obey God. It creates the ability to obey God. You can't do it without grace. You can't do it without the empowerment of His grace, which is done by the Holy Spirit within us. Does that make sense to you? We must learn to receive and be a partaker of that grace. Grace to obey. Are you a partaker of grace or you want to partake of the law? It's your choice. I particularly will pick grace any day now, I tell you. I don't want the law. I know what the law can do. It'll make me miserable. Okay? So we covered willing and obedient here now. Okay? Now let's look at, let's cover eat the good of the land. You want to eat the good of the land? I do. I want to eat more of that good of the land. Well, the good of the land, let me just give you this understanding of it. The good of the land is the area of your life which is brought under His authority when you relinquish your self-rule and your self-centered living and make Him the Lord of your life. Then you come into the good land. The good of the land is living in the kingdom of God. That's what living in the good of the land is. It's living in the kingdom. Where is the kingdom today? Let's find out where the kingdom is. Let's go to Luke 17. Most people are thinking that the kingdom is in the sweet by and by when Jesus comes. Is that what it means? Luke 17. Verse 20. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 17. Verse 20. And when He was demanded of the Pharisees, they were demanding. They wanted to know, where is the kingdom of God? When is the kingdom of God going to come? Where is the kingdom of God? I want to see the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? And when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there. It's not over in Israel. That's not the kingdom of God today, okay? Contrary to somebody's teaching out there, that is not the kingdom of God. They're not going to say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. That's where the kingdom of God is. Okay? Everybody got that? So the good land that we live in is in the kingdom of God. The good land is the promised land. And the kingdom of God is our promised land because we're not going to a promised land here on earth. Right? Our promised land is a spiritual promised land. We have to understand that. Our promised land is spiritual. It's not physical. Now, yes, we have a physical heaven someday that we're going to have, but that's, I'm talking about right now, because he said the kingdom of God is within you right now. He didn't say that sweet by and by. He said that's within us. If it was within us, then it can't be off there somewhere in the future. It had to be something that's now. So the kingdom of God is now, and the kingdom of God is within us, and it is the promised land, and it is the good land. When we live in the kingdom of God, we're starting to partake of the promised land living that God has promised us, that we can live in his abundant supply, we can live in his prosperity, we can live in his healing, we can live in all the good things that come in from above. That's the kingdom of God. Now, let's continue this, explaining this, so you get it good and get it good in you. The kingdom of God is not when you get to heaven, but it is available for the believer to live in right now. It is within you. Where is it? How do you worship the God? How do you worship your Lord? The Bible says you that worship him must worship him where? In spirit and in truth. Everybody say in spirit and truth. That's how you worship God. The kingdom of God is not a physical kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. See, it is a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God is where? He said it's within us. Well, is it in your flesh? Paul said, no good thing dwells in my flesh. So the kingdom of God can't be in your flesh. Is it in your soul? No, the soul has to be renewed by the word of God. It has to be brought under subjection and brought under rule by the word and renewed by the word. Then it's in your what? What is left? It's in your spirit. Where does God dwell? He dwells in your heart. You ask Jesus into your heart. The kingdom of God is within your heart. The kingdom of God is within you. It doesn't come with observation, because you can't see your spirit, but you know you have a spirit, and the spirit is within you, and that is where the kingdom of God is. And that is the good land that all life flows up out of. That is the promised land where we live that abundant life from, and it will manifest out into the physical life, but it all starts within our spirit, within the kingdom of God. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, shall flow life, shall flow all the good things of God, but that comes out of the kingdom of God, right? And the kingdom of God is within us. Is everybody getting this? I'm trying to make it simple. In spirit and truth, the good land, 1 Corinthians 15:50. Let me just help confirm this a little bit more. 1 Corinthians 15:50. So we understand this. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Okay, well, is there corruption in your flesh? Sure. Paul said, no good thing dwells in my flesh. Is your soul totally saved? No. The Bible says we get our soul saved by the renewing of the mind and the Word of God. No. So it's our spirit is the only part of us that has no corruption in it. So where is the kingdom of God? Again, that just gives you another confirmation. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is now, and the kingdom of God is within us. So where is the kingdom of God? It has to be a spiritual kingdom. It has to be within our spirit, which is the real core of our being, the part of us where we begin to worship God in spirit and truth, and we begin to enter into that communion and fellowship with him spiritually. Because God is a spirit, and we have to contact him spiritually, and that comes out of our heart or our spirit. Okay? Everybody got that? All right. Hallelujah. To worship God in spirit and enjoy the good of the land of the kingdom, then living in the kingdom, we must enter into the reality of walking in the kingdom of God now, not in the sweet by and by. It is something we can experience right now. Do you believe that? It's for now. It's not just for heaven. The kingdom of God is now, and it's within us, and it's real. And it's not something we're just hoping for out there someday. We hope it happens. It's right now. The kingdom of God is now, and it's within us. See, the Adamic carnal self, flesh-ruled nature, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So do you understand why God has got to put us on the potter's wheel so that we can be brought into submission to the Spirit of the Lord within us, to the Spirit of God, and that we will be yielded to Him so we can eat the good of the land and be made to be obedient because we have chosen to be willing. Amen? And so if we're willing and obedient, we're going to eat the good of the land of the kingdom of God. I hope you got it. Pretty clear. Flesh and blood can't inherit it. Adam can't inherit it. Yet it's within you. So that's why God's got to grind us to powder sometimes, because we're so stubborn and rebellious and selfish, and we want our way, and He's got to get that out of the way, so that He can be glorified and Spirit can come forth instead of flesh. And that's what's going on in the church today for those who are willing and obedient. All right. Flesh and blood can't inherit it, yet it's within you. So where is the kingdom of God? It's in spirit. It is in your spirit. Within your spirit is the reality of the kingdom of God right now. And if you are joined to the Lord today, the Bible says something that you become. When you become joined to the Lord, you become one spirit with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined to his wife is one flesh. Okay? Different. We're married to the Lord. We become one spirit with Him. Therefore, we have the ability, because we've been joined to Him, which is joined to the very kingdom of God itself, we have the ability to have sweet communion with Him. We have the ability to have sweet fellowship and to be brought into the very closest of unions, the union of intimacy of the marriage of a man and God. Because we're the bride of Christ. See? Hallelujah. So if you're joined to the Lord today, if His Spirit within you has quickened you, and recreated your spirit, then you are one spiritually with God. One spiritually with God today. Not in your mentality, not in your thinking, but you are one with God in spirit. And so we must worship and fellowship with God in spirit and truth. What's another word for truth? Reality. Reality is another word for truth. And so if we're going to worship in spirit and truth, we need to worship in spirit and in reality. Truth is reality. The Word is, look at the world out there. It's all passing away. Everything out there. Those cars are going to be in the junkyard someday. You know, all these buildings are going to crumble and fall down. That is not an eternal reality. Truth is an eternal reality. Truth is something that never changes. Truth is something that can't change. See, therefore, that is our reality. This is just temporal. And the Bible says that which is temporal passes away. But that which is eternal, you know, that which is unseen is eternal. Remember that scripture? That which is temporal passes away, but that which is unseen is eternal. Okay, in Corinthians? Well, see, that is all temporal. All that out there is temporal. But what's going on right now here, what we're talking about, that is eternal. That is spiritual. That's eternal. That's forever. Woo, boy. Hallelujah. We must worship and fellowship with God in spirit and in truth. Spirit and reality. Reality is truth. Truth is reality. This is all temporal. Our bodies are temporal. We're going to get a new body. This body right now as we stand here or sit there is passing away. Parts of the cells are dying and being replaced. And, you know, there's just an ongoing process. It's just our shell. It's just a container that carries the kingdom of God, the Spirit, you know. And it's not going to last us forever. Not in this world. Because the Bible says, be changed like that. You're going to get a new body, you know. Hallelujah. Yeah, we're going to be a new heaven and a new earth, too. It's going to be recreated. It's going to be recreated without corruption. Because this world is corruptible, therefore it is not eternal truth. It's just temporal. Everything's corruptible, you know. Carpet's corruptible. We found that out this week. Had to clean up the dust from downstairs. It's corruptible, you know. Everything's corruptible. That car that you just lust after and can't wait to get, well, guess what? It's corruptible. It won't last you forever, you know. It's just a passing away thing, you know. The clothes that you like so much, corruptible. It won't last forever. Moths will get in there eventually, and they'll get holes in them, and you'll get tired of them because it's corruptible. But I never get tired of Jesus. Because he's not corruptible. He's eternal. I don't get tired of him. He's eternal in the heavens. He's eternal in my heart. You know? He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. Okay. To worship him in truth or reality means you're walking in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is our true reality, our truth, or identity. That's what we are. That's where we dwell. We dwell in the kingdom of God today. Because it is eternal. And to walk in the Spirit means that the flesh is no longer ruling your life. The flesh is submitted to the potter, and the potter has formed you and is forming you into what he wants you to be. You're on the potter's wheel if necessary. And it's going to be necessary at some time for all of us. Don't think you're going to escape the potter's wheel. I've been on it. I'll be on it again. Maybe I'm on it right now. Okay? And what he wants is for the king, the life of the king, which is Christ Jesus, to be seen in you. Can you imagine what the church would be like today if the king was truly seen in the church? Can you imagine all the foolishness that goes on would stop in the church today? All the backbiting and ridiculous murmuring and gossiping and all the foolishness that the church, the so-called church of Jesus Christ, does today if the king, beautiful bride. And somehow he said he's coming for a bride without spot, without blemish. And we're already that way, so I guess he can come now, huh? No, spiritually we are that way, though. Think about it. Spiritually we are that way. But physically we're a mess, you know. Soulishly we're a mess, you know. And we need help. We need to be on the, we need to submit to the potter's wheel as a church today, you know. Christians do. Spiritually, we're saved as we're ever going to be. You know, we've been washed in the blood. We're a new creation. You're saved. But, boy, we need a lot of work. You know, we need a lot of change still. See, the reality of the kingdom is to see the life of the king come alive on the inside of your being and manifest. And if that takes place, then it's going to show in all areas of our life. You know, so therefore, we're going to have to yield to the king so that the Spirit can rise up, the kingdom of God can rise up and have the ascendancy or rulership in our lives. As long as flesh rules, then the church will never be what it ought to be. As long as the soul rules and self rules, the church will never rise up and become what it ought to be in the earth today. So that's God's job, and will we yield to it? Miracle living, living in the kingdom now, present reality. So too many are waiting till they get to heaven for that. But God said it's now and it's within you now. Think about it. Most live their self life now. And they hope to get into the kingdom someday. Is that the way we found out it should be? I don't think so. Well, I'm going to heaven, but boy, I'm just going to do what I want now. I'm going to live it. You know, I'm going to rebel and be stubborn. And nobody goes about saying that, do they? Not normally, but that's the way they live. They do what they want. I'm going to heaven. I'm okay. I'm saved. I'm going to just do what I want in the meantime. Live my life. Well, you'll probably get to heaven, okay? But you'll miss out on some rewards. There's going to be a lot of rewards missed out on for those that really yielded to the potter. Those are the ones who are going to get the most rewards because you yielded to the potter. You let the potter make you a vessel that's beautiful that he can use. What kind of Christian are you going to be? One that just gets in by the skin of the teeth? Oh, I made it. I'm in heaven. Jesus is my fire escape. Bless God, I missed hell. Hell, yeah, well, you got eternity to watch all the others that got the rewards. Huh? The rewards are not just who I won to the Lord. No, no, the rewards are because you became all that you could be in Christ. You became the vessel. You let him do what he wanted with you, just like Job said. I'm going to trust you. Whatever you decide to do with me, I'm going to trust you, Lord. Though you slay me, if you want to kill me, you want to kill this flesh, blow it into oblivion, I'll trust you, Lord. My way is not the way that matters. Remember, Jesus said the same thing when he was getting ready to go to the cross. He said, not my will be done, but yours. You know? He's made up his mind. His flesh wasn't going to rule him. You know, he lived in the flesh. He was God, but he lived in the flesh, and he felt the pain. He felt that when they put those nails in, he felt that. The flesh was screaming, I don't want to go to the cross. I know this is going to be miserable. His flesh was screaming. But he said, not my will, Father, but your will be done. Can we say that with him today? It's a challenge. We say we can, but when the rubber meets the road, will we really say that? You know, when the work starts to take place in our lives and it gets a little uncomfortable and things aren't always going our way, can we still say, Lord, I trust you no matter what. Do what you want. That's tough. You know, this is a tough word, really, for most Christians to hear. I'm telling you there's a good land in it. And if you want to eat the good of the land and live in the fullness of the kingdom of God, it's required that we go on the potter's wheel now and then. Okay, I'm closing. Oh, I tell you, those who live for self, I think they'll be ashamed that it's coming. Let's not be in that number. Let us abide in him now and be willing and obedient and begin to live obedient lives through the grace of God given to us. And go eat of the life, of the good of the land. Go eat of of that good land that he has to give us now. So when we see him physically and it is coming, it'll just be transition from glory to glory. It won't be, oh, we want to, you know, hide from him because we've lived so carnally. But we will have fellowship with him so closely that it'll just be, oh, we can't wait to see you and be with you, you know. And, oh, we've waited for this day, you know. What a great day it is. And you begin to transition from glory to glory as your new body suddenly comes on you and you say, wow, I could do anything now. I'm no limitations. I've been changed into this new body, this heavenly thing that's not limited like this physical earthly thing is. That will never die, never corrupt, never have a demon in it, never be oppressed by the enemy. Whoa. What a day that'll be. See, I look forward to that day. You know, let's go right now. You know, what is there really here on earth that holds that much to us anyway? You know? What does this world really have to offer? The older I get, the more I know it doesn't have anything. So what? You have wealth, you have family, you have all these things. So what? What is that in comparison to God, to Jesus being face to face with our Creator? Oh, I want to live in the kingdom every day of my life. I want to eat the good of the land. How about you? Amen. Father, we thank you for speaking to us today about these things and reminding us of what we're here for, to live in the kingdom of God, not just to live our own lives out and, you know, hope that everything works out and we get to heaven someday, but, Lord, to let you have your way and let you live your life through us. So that the King can come forth in us. So that people can see the King in us. And Lord, that carnal, fleshly, Adamic nature will be put to death. That it'll be slayed. That it won't have the ascendancy and the rulership over our lives any longer. But Jesus will. And we give you the praise and glory, Lord, that we are willing vessels today to be put on the potter's wheel if necessary and when necessary. And that you'll have your way with us, O Lord. Have your way with this church. Have your way with each of its people. And we give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. How many would say that I'm willing to be on the potter's wheel if necessary? Lord, put me on it if necessary. Amen. Most hands went up. It's not always fun. More hands went up. But it's necessary because we'll come forth as pure gold. We'll come forth as what he wants us to be, and that's what it's about. And we'll have greater peace, the peace that passes all understanding. And we'll be all we can be in his kingdom. Amen. This is good news, folks. This is good news. Anybody need prayer?
Amen. So there it was. Classic sermon. the church a number of years ago. So thought you might be blessed by that tonight to hear that. And so anyway, we're going to get into the live message tonight that I have for you for the rest of this time, and then we'll do some deliverance when that's over. So Danger Zone, Wrong Speaking, that's the title of the live message tonight I'm going to share with you. All right, so let's get into it. So what do you spend your time doing in life? Do you like to watch TV a lot? Sales box office, HBO, Showtime, Netflix? What are you doing with your time the most? What are you spending your time doing today? You spend your days, you know, with Netflix or some other nonsense that goes on and takes you nowhere. But maybe you prefer to be consumed with your job. Maybe you're a workaholic. You're not addicted to TV. You're addicted to your work. And there's nothing wrong with working. God tells us to work. If a man don't work, he don't eat. But that's not all there is to life either. Maybe you enjoy complaining. Now, this is a national pastime. A lot of people, there's always something to complain about, always something to gripe about and moan about. Or maybe you enjoy gossiping. Oh, you have to talk about anybody and everybody and all about everybody else's business. And maybe you're a drama queen. Maybe you're just all about drama. Your life is a drama life. And you're not having fun if you're not living a drama. Or maybe you just... money consumes your life. Maybe that's the big deal in your life, is money. Some people, that is true. And money consumes them. They live for the money they can get. You like shopping, or maybe it's sports that consume. A lot of people are consumed by sports. I don't know why. It's a pretty ungodly, right? The ungodly run it for the most part, but there are some godly people that do play sports. But anyway, I can find a lot about a person by what they spend their time doing every day, right? What they like to do. Well, what should we be doing, Pastor Kyle? What do you think we should be doing? Well, let's go look at Psalm 35, see what the Word says. Psalm 35, verse 28. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. That's what we should be doing. There it is, all day long, it says. We should be glorifying God for his righteousness, which he has clothed us with, and praising him. You mean I can do that all day, Pastor? Not just at church? Yeah, you could do it all day, you know. Not only can you do it, but you should be doing it, according to the Word. So many times we worry. That's what we spend our time doing. We worry. Our family has problems. My relatives have problems. I have problems. There's problems with my job. There's financial problems. There's work problems. On and on the list goes. But no, that's not what the Lord tells us to be focusing on. Not living in high anxiety. Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and truly thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Don't be uptight. Don't be angry. Don't be worrying all the time. It's not the nature of God. So why are you taking up the nature of the world? Why are you taking up the nature of the devil when it's not the nature of God? Worrying, anger, uptight, stress. It's the nature of the flesh, the nature of the carnal man, the nature of the devil. Don't allow yourself to just gossip and speak poverty and negative stuff all the time. A lot of people doing that in the church. I've heard plenty of them do it over the years and listen to them carry on. Psalm 34:11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. There's your answer right there, right? And then again in the New Testament, let's go over there and read 1 Timothy 5:13. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. That's right. Talking about others. Mm-hmm. Gossiping, saying things they should be saying. See, you know what's in your heart. That what's in your heart, that's what you'll become like unless you change. Right? And if you speak poverty, sickness, defeat, and death, well, that's what you're going to live in. That's what you're going to get. And if you speak sickness and the curse, that's what you're going to live with. Right? Remember, we discovered that everything produces after its own kind. A monkey is not going to produce a human being, nor is a human being going to produce a monkey. And a cat is not going to produce a dog. And, yeah, they're trying to produce all kinds of crazy things. They've mixed animal and human together, and I saw a picture of one that's part animal but has a face of a human, and yet it's got four legs. And, I mean, this is horrible what they're trying to do today. This is perversion of everything godly and everything that God created, and they want to make a mockery of God. But the things that go on in laboratories are all absolutely horrible, and to think that this is what's in the mind of man. But, you know, the Bible said the heart of man is desperately wicked, and I can truly believe that. To see that kind of a creation, that they would have no compassion or mercy at all. It just make whatever they want to make. Right. So anyway, everything produces after its own kind, and if you speak poverty, poverty will come. If you speak gossip, gossip will be produced. Okay, if you speak death and sickness, sickness will be produced in your life. That kind of demon will be released, okay? So what is coming out of your mind today? I mean, we may need to examine our mind, our heart, what is coming out of it. I'm not talking our spirit. I'm talking about the heart and the mind. The heart connects the mind to the spirit, but, you know, because there's no wickedness in the spirit, but there is, can be in the heart, as we saw in the Bible. But life, that which is good for building up, is that what's coming? Or death, which is for tearing down? What's the dominant force in speaking in your life? What are you speaking the most, life or death? The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The Greek word here is sapros, to destroy, rotten, defiling speech, expressing what is of poor quality, bad. So that's what corrupt means. No corrupt communication coming out of your mouth. No rotten stuff. No sapros, to destroy, defiling speech. Poor quality speech, bad speech. See, when we speak deceit, gossip, unbelief, it's defiling speech. It's bad speech, and it destroys. It opens the door to demons. It's like speaking out rotten stuff. But we're called to a higher calling than to waste our time speaking this corruption day in, day out. Some people, that's what they do. They're speaking corruption day in and day out. And it's just bad, right? Any image that is perfected in you is going to flow out of your mouth, whether it be negative or positive, whether it be life or death. What you have an image of in your mind and in your heart is what you'll speak and what you'll ultimately receive. You want to receive all the fruit of your mouth, such as pain, sickness, poverty, gossip, death? I mean, come on. Then maybe you need to change some of what you're saying. See, God spoke what he wanted, not what he didn't want. How different are we? We don't want poverty, yet people speak poverty. And of course, by speaking certain things influenced by demons, you will open the door to the demons to come into you and set up their little house there, see? So you got to watch what you say, or you may have some visitors coming in to stay that are not good company. How many know demons are not good company? They're bad company. How many know that demons don't make good company and certainly are not a good house guest or your friend, even though you may have invited them to live with you and live inside of you? They're not good friends. They're not your partners. Partners in crime, maybe partners in sin, but they're not the kind of partner you want to live with you. What about this? If you have a home you're living in, apartment, whatever, would you invite someone, an enemy who hates you and despises you and wants only the worst for you, to come and live in your physical house where you live? Would you invite somebody like that to come live with you? Yet why do people invite spiritual enemies that hate them and despise them to come and live in their body and soul and to set up their house there? Something really wrong there, right? Something really wrong that we would invite somebody that hates us to come and live inside of us and do damage to us. So a big part of protecting yourself is watching and guarding your tongue and what comes out of your mouth. The life and death is in the tongue, the Word of God says. So what have you been saying lately? Have you been given demons permission to come on into you? Or do you keep on a continual guard day and night over your mouth? See, the tongue can be an unruly evil, the Bible says. If you don't restrain it, it can really mess you up. And if you just let it speak anything that comes to mind, remember the mind is the major battleground of your lifetime, all through it. And demons plant thoughts in your mind. They can do that. They plant thoughts in the mind every day. And those thoughts are temptations and possible traps in your life. And you know, many of them may seem insignificant. They may seem nothing. But, you know, nothing demonic is insignificant, though. You know, it's all part of a master bigger plan to bring you into bondage and keep you there all your life. See, you're snared by the words of your mouth, the Bible says. So pay attention to this scripture. Don't want to be snared by the words of your mouth. You don't want to be in bondage by the words of your mouth. Well, I just don't believe I'll ever have enough. Seems like I'm just not going to get by. It seems like I'm not going to have enough food this month. Well, you probably won't, because you spoke it, and the devil will use that, what you speak. We don't want the fruit of gossip, yet we gossip. We don't want the fruit of poverty, yet we speak poverty and live in poverty by choice. We choose to be that way. See, we must get our words and our heart in line with the Word of God, not with our fears, our frustration, our anxieties, our fretting. We don't want to get to our life in line with that. We don't want to get our words in alignment with that which is not biblical. See, by speaking God's Word in your life and continuing to do so, what are you doing? Well, you do three things. Number one, you cause faith to come. Number two, you destroy the old image of what you used to speak. And number three, you perfect and create a new image inside of you. Hallelujah. The image of the biblical image, the one that lines up with the Word of God. And see, when you look at your lack or your poverty, you know, don't start saying it again. What do you say? Well, what do you think you say? You say the Word of God. What is it? Philippians 4:18, for instance. We say the Word of God. We need to get our talk in alignment with the Word and say what the Word says. If you can't say what the Word says, you better not say anything at all sometimes, really, because really, you know, if it's not alignment with the Word, then what is it? 4:19, Philippians. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Is he going to do that? Well, he promised. Do you believe his promise, or are you speaking opposite of the promise? Well, if you're speaking opposite of the promise, no wonder that's not coming to pass in your life. You've got to get your mouth in alignment with the Word of God and say what the Word of God says. Get out of alignment with demons and quit parroting demons and what they say. See, when God created the earth, what did he do? He didn't have an earth in front of him to go by. In fact, there was nothing there but water, without form and void, it says. He saw the world without form and void because for some reason there was a pre-Adamic earth and it was destroyed. But he had an image in his head, so he spoke it and it became. You may see nothing there but poverty. That's what you see out there. Or you may see lack, or you may see sickness, or you may see gossip, but that's all you could do. You just done it for so long, you addicted to it. But see, form an image in you according to the word of God, according to a promise of God, and then start speaking that instead. And nothing might happen right away, but don't stop, because faith comes and things will change. Faith comes and things will change, and keep speaking according to the word of God. You know, the devil will you know, try to provoke you, get you to stop doing that. They see if you're really serious about it. And if he finds out you're really serious about it and you're not quitting, then he's going to be done some damage to him, see? Hallelujah, because he's going to, stronghold going to be weakened by the power of the Spirit of God. Psalms 8:2, out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. See, we've got to still the enemy and the avenger. And strength comes out of our mouth. Amen. By what you say. You know, I want you to know, in your mouth, there is strength, power, and authority. Enough there to defeat and silence the enemy and the avenger. And because of our enemy, God's given us strength in our mouth to defeat the enemy. You believe that? I believe it. I've done it. How do you do that? Well, praise is part of it. Then speaking the word of God, and through launching our spiritual weapons, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God. Hallelujah. Are you doing that? That's important. We've got to tell the enemy what we believe. See? We got to speak what we believe. And you know, when you speak what you believe, then you believe what you speak, right? That's right. When you speak what you believe, then you believe what you speak. Hallelujah. See, this is a moment-by-moment daily battle that we're in, folks. This is true. You speak stuff all day long. Everybody speaks stuff. Examine what you say. How much of it has been influenced and infiltrated by, even controlled by demons? How much of it is? I mean, you know, if we really were to stop and slow down and examine a lot of things, we'd see the demon control behind it, the demon's influence behind it. You know, I've been conversed with devils and people many times. And not in a deliverance session either, even though I have done it in deliverance session. But the person speaking to me had no idea it was not them speaking, but demons speaking through their very own mouth. But I have a discernment of spirits, and I saw what was happening. I saw that I wasn't talking to the person himself or herself. It was a spirit speaking. And how many know demons do that? Because people yield their mouth to the devil. And they've done it so long, they don't know when the demons are speaking out of their very own mouth. How many times have you been speaking with somebody? It was really demons talking. Maybe yourself. You've had demons speak to you. And you and all of us should develop enough discernment to recognize when a demon is talking through a person, right? And also when they are placing words in your own mouth. You're getting those spirit planting those ideas in your mind, see? And do we really want to parrot a demon's thoughts and words? Yet we do it. We do it. I've done it. You've done it. We've all done it because we heard the thought in our mind. It was inserted. Where did it come from? We got to examine the thoughts. Where did the thoughts come from? They don't come from nowhere. So we got to examine the thoughts and find out what the thought is and where it came from. Did it come from God? Did it come from me? Did it come from demons? More times than not, it could be a demon. That's why we have to examine it. We're so quick to talk. Whatever comes to mind, that no wonder we say things that demons say, or let them actually have our tongue, and it's them talking to us. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy, you know. So we got to develop that discernment, folks. Amen. Do we really want to talk what demons talk? No, we don't. We shouldn't. I mean, why would we want to yield our tongue to evil? You know, we're godly people. We're children of a living God. And one time that all of us have yielded our tongue to evil is when we speak in the wrath of humanity, or the wrath of man, the Bible calls it. That's right. Let's go read it. James chapter 1, verse 20. James, book of James, chapter 1. Verse 20, it says here, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Let's read the two verses before and after. One verse before and one verse after. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In other words, don't get in a hurry to get angry. Watch yourself, because there are going to be problems there. If you let yourself get angry, there are going to be problems. So watch out here. Watch out here. Okay? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So instead of giving place to the wrath of man, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. The soul's the mind, will, and emotions. Okay? They have to get saved. Okay? Our spirit's saved. But we're dealing with the mind, will, and emotion. What's going to deal with that? Well, the engrafted word. Okay? The engrafted word. So, it does not work the righteousness of God. It works flesh. And in your flesh, the Bible said, dwells no good thing. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So if it's not working the righteousness of God, what is it working? Well, it's working something of the devil. So if it's not working the things of God, it's working the things of the devil. And so you get angry, start manifesting that wrath, an unholy wrath, because it's not the holy wrath of God that Jesus went into the temple and cleaned the temple with. No, it's the wrath of man. Because the Bible says the wrath of humanity, the wrath of man, worketh not the righteousness of God. So here you are operating in the wrath of man. And so you got to realize that that is opening yourself, see. So you got to guard yourself from blowing up and getting in the wrath of the flesh. The anger that so many yield to, and when they do, what happens? Well, they're yielding to demons. Because it doesn't work the righteousness of God, so it's working the evilness of darkness. Amen? And so demons so easily have access at that point. Haven't all of us said things that we regretted when we got angry in the past? And in this kind of unrighteous wrath and anger? We put up a guard, folks, over the tongue. It can easily sabotage your life. You see that? Don't let it, don't yield to it. Don't let an enemy give it over to the enemy. Yield to the Holy Spirit, not the demons. Because it doesn't work, that anger thing. It doesn't work the righteousness of God. So I know you might not have ever thought of those things about quite that way. But nevertheless, I'm just showing you this through the Word of God that you might see a little bit different side of this so you understand what's going on. The devil tried to get you mad. When you get to operating in that anger, then it's not working the righteousness of God, so you're stepping out of the righteousness of God. And over into the realm of the flesh where the devil's will manifest. Remember Psalm 45:1. You remember that scripture? Let's go read it. Psalm 45:1. It says something about the tongue there that's kind of interesting. And maybe you haven't thought about this scripture, but there's some truth here that should be thought about, I think. Because it's interesting. Psalm 45:1, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. That's the part I want you to see. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Your tongue is the pen of the ready writer. But you know what? You can very easily let the evil ready writer begin to write. Instead of the Holy Spirit. The devil's a ready writer too. And your tongue can be the pen of the devil. You see what I'm saying here? Is that interesting? Our tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And yeah, the writer can be the Holy Spirit, but it also could be the devil. It depends on who you yield that tongue to. And who you yield that tongue to is what really matters. What are you writing with your tongue? Have you ever even thought about this? Have you ever even thought about it? I mean, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. The devil is ready, and so is God. They're both ready to write with your tongue. Have you ever thought of that? You know, sometimes things pass us by and we don't get the spiritual realities in our life. We don't see it. But the spiritual realities matter the most. Nothing matters more than the spiritual reality, because the spiritual realities, like we said in, like you heard in that previous sermon from the past, is, you know, the kingdom of God is within us. That's the spiritual kingdom. And we should pay the most attention to these spiritual realities, whether, you know, they're of the Jesus or the devil. They need to be paid attention to, so we don't yield to the devil and we do yield to Jesus. So what should we do? A pen is the pen of the ready writer. We need to yield our tongue to Jesus, to the Word of God, to the, yeah. So put up a holy guard upon your tongue today. Put up a holy guard upon that tongue. Yeah, well, have you done that? Are you guarding your tongue, or are you just letting it rattle off whatever your spirit may say? Whatever little demon might get in your mind and plant a little thought in there, or plant the words in there, and you speak it, you don't think about what you say. Most people don't think much about what they say. They just rattle it off. So that's how easy it is for the enemy to get a foothold there and begin to talk through a person, because they're not thinking what they're saying. They're just blabbing it out. But they're not thinking, well, was that God? Is that the devil talking to me? Or what's going on here? Yeah, so put up a holy guard, daily, every day, all day long. Put up a holy guard upon that tongue and walk in the blessing. Amen? Guarding yourself against the curse and the death and the darkness, because the curse, the death, and the darkness want to speak through their mouth. And they want to curse you and bring death to you and darkness to you. You've got to be on guard against that. They are at work all the time. The devil doesn't sleep nor slumber, neither does God. Thank God the angels don't. Thank God the angels are always there, even watching over us when we're in a motel room or when we're laying in our bed or wherever we're at. All kind of evil can be around you when you're in a motel room. Or if you live in an apartment, the apartment next door, they might be Satanists. They might be something bad. They might be doing all kinds of wickedness. But you station the angels of the Lord round about you. You apply the blood of Jesus, anoint your apartment with oil, the wall between you and that other whoever next door. Sometimes on both sides, above and below too, right? If you live in a multi-floor apartment. Mm-hmm. What are they doing next door? What kind of evil goes on there? They might be godly people, but they might not be, see? You should have some discernment about your neighbors, and you can do spiritual warfare accordingly. You know what's going on over there, or have an inkling to have discernment. Discern, ask God to show you things about the neighbor. You know, if you need to know some things to live in peace yourself. Hmm? Guarding against the curse, the death, and the darkness, and the devils. We're at war with Satan daily. We need to know your enemy. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. You know your God, too. That's the most important. No, we got to know our God, but we can't be ignorant of the enemy either. So we got to be strong in our God and the power of his might. All right? Not our might, his might, right? We're not looking at our might, because it's the Lord and his might that's working in us, right? So that's the power. So strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Daily, daily, daily. Not our might. Don't try to take over, right? Don't try to be God. His might, daily, moment by moment, day by day, month by month, all the time. Because, I mean, we live in a world of darkness, but Jesus is light. And you know, his angels are greater in power than the devil's angels and the fallen beings of darkness, various kinds that there are. The demons and the fallen angels, two separate entities. And who knows what other kind of beings fell to. But I don't know. I know that they're not just one kind. But we know that the demons are not angels, because angels don't need a body, right? Demons need a body, so they got to get in a person, right? When Jesus sent them out, they asked, well, can we at least go into the pigs? We don't want to go into the dry places and wander around. We want to be in a body. Yeah, but a pig didn't like them, and they ran off into the ocean. Pigs don't like demons, obviously. They couldn't take the demons in them, and they ran off and killed themselves in the ocean. or in the, not the water, whatever, the lake, whatever it was, they ran off the cliff and jumped in when the demons went into the pigs. So why should we like demons being in us either? Not that we're going to run off in the ocean, although some demons get people to do that. Jump off a cliff. Suicide. Under attack. They give into that spirit of suicide and take their own life. That's what demons do, see? They influence people in any way they can be allowed to do it. I mean, that's why we got to resist the devil, and he will flee from us, because he's trying to do stuff against us. He's not for us, he's against us. But hey, if God be for us, who can prevail against us? Basically what the Lord said. And God is for us, and the demons aren't going to be able to prevail against us if we live in God being for us. But a lot of people don't live in God being for us. They just step over and they have episodes with the devil, believing what the devil's saying, believing what the devil's doing in their life, and they get in agreement with the devil, and things happen to them that shouldn't be happening, and they're allowing it to happen because they stepped over into the devil's territory, like just through the wrath of man. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So what's it working? It's working a manifestation of devils, of the flesh, which the devil, the flesh has no good thing dwelling in it, so you see what we're saying here. So watch out about flipping over into that wrath area. Because you will endanger yourself and others and probably open the door to the devil, right? And who'll be talking through you? Won't be you anymore, but something else will be doing it, right? Something else will be in charge there. Huh? So, amen. So be on guard, saints. I've shared my little fresh sermon with you today. It wasn't as long as usual, but I want to give you a classic one, too, tonight. And so we give God the glory for all that. And Father, we thank you for this word here too as well, and ask you to just do your work through it. That you're a great God, and you do take your word, and it doesn't return unto you void, but it accomplishes the things that you send it forth to accomplish. And we thank you for that today in this word. Thank you for it in the other word, because the other word still has power, because the anointing is still there on your word, Father. Praise God. And so, Lord, now we thank you for this word too, and that, Lord, we will put a guard by the power of the Holy Spirit, because no man can tame the tongue. Only the Holy Spirit can. Only God can. So, Lord, through the grace of God, we put a guard over our mouth by the power of the Holy Spirit in us now, in Jesus' name. And we submit and yield that tongue to you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, we'll be back in just a few moments. Then we will go ahead and get into some deliverance for a little while. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's have a song tonight as we take a little time of intermission here, and then we'll go back and do some deliverance. All right? Sound good? All right. Be right back.
If I had 1,000 wishes and each of them came true, I would trade those 1,000 wishes for one moment with you. If I had 1,000 dreams of finest palaces above, I would trade each precious dream of mine for one moment of your love. Thank you.
All right, welcome back, folks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We just do some damage to demons tonight. You want to do that? Praise God. That's what I want to do. I don't like demons. I don't like what they do to people. I've seen them work for years and don't like what I've seen them do. But I've seen the Lord work for years, and I love to see what he does. Don't you? I mean, haven't you seen the Lord work in your life and other people's lives? And I love to see what Jesus does. I just live in expectation every day of what he's going to do. And we ought to have something that we've prayed about, and we're living in expectation of what he's going to do every day, right? I mean, do you not pray? I mean, I pray for things, and then I sit back and I watch what the Lord will do. And I keep thanking Jesus. And the danger is you let your tongue get control and you talk yourself out of the blessing, talk yourself out of what God wants to do. And the angels can't work with a bunch of unbelief coming out of your mouth. And that's what a lot of people do. You know, they pray for something and then they start talking the opposite of it, or they talk in unbelief. Oh, God wouldn't do that for me. Nothing's going to happen. And, oh, yeah, the little tongue, the damage it does. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. We rebuke the gossip spirit tonight. Yeah, that's one of them. We command that spirit to come out, that gossiping spirit. We break the curse of gossip. Any generational spirits, you come from your mama, your daddy, your grandpa, your grandma, come out. All that gossiping inherited spirit, and when it's talk about others, slander others, gossip about them, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out in the name of Jesus right now. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, all that gossiping spirit, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Go all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out, all the way out. You know, it's amazing. Let's deal with the poverty spirit. You know, I've been in the people's house. You know, you go into a house and it's always all messed up. You know, a lot of times the spirit of poverty is there. Spirit of witchcraft can be there. These things are manifesting in the way people keep house. And so you want to fight this thing. You know, there's no, I mean, look at the way, the Bible describes heaven and the throne of God. I mean, look at the Old Testament temple. It was made with much gold and things. So there's not poverty there. Okay? That's a spirit. It's part of the curse. Poverty is part of the curse. And if you're poor right now, that doesn't mean you're cursed, but it could mean that you have a curse in operation. And it could mean that you just need to break the curse of poverty over yourself and command that spirit to go. And so we just break the curse of poverty tonight in Jesus' name, and we command the spirit of poverty to come out, all the way out, all the way out, that spirit of poverty. And maybe we don't have much, but we don't have to live under the curse of poverty. We don't have to live under the spirit of poverty, because we're supposed to be living under the blessing of the Lord. Amen. That's what the Bible tells us. We can live in the blessing of the Lord, that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by one Christ Jesus. See, all our needs are going to be met in Christ Jesus, see. But poverty won't let him meet those needs. It blocks the blessing, okay? So we break the curse of poverty. We command the spirit of poverty, come out, come out, come out in the name of Jesus right now. Spirit of poverty, curse of poverty, go in the name of Jesus. We rebuke you. Come out of there in the name of Jesus right now. Move, 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 move. Out, 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 out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All that poverty, you have to go. We rebuke the spirit of poverty. We rebuke that spirit of witchcraft that comes with poverty sometimes. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. All the way out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Go. Come out. 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 All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. Controlled by pharmacia. Yeah. Controlled by prescription drugs. That could be one. Pharmacia. Sorcery. Come out, all the way out. We break that curse right now. Pharmacia spirits, sorcery spirits, come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, all the way up out of there. Come out in Jesus' name. We break the control of those spirits and command them to go in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. All the way out. All the way out. Go in Jesus' name. Go up out of there. Move in Jesus' name. Move. Move. Keep moving. Up out of there. Up out of there. Up out of there. All the way. Come out. 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 Up and out of there. Go. Go. If you've ever been involved in religion and Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness, Christian Scientist, I mean, many of the offshoots of Christianity or fake Christianity, we command that false Jesus to come out, because their Jesus is not the same Jesus as a Christian has, a true Christian has, right? The Mormon Jesus is not the same Jesus. They say Jesus, their Jesus, is the brother of Lucifer. No, Jesus is not the brother of Lucifer, okay? Jesus is an eternal God. Lucifer, Satan, was not an eternal God. Okay? So that's what I mean. Some people have false Jesus. They believed in the wrong, you know, one, and that spirit has come in, so we command a false Jesus to go. Right now, false Jesus. You ever been a Mormon? False Jesus, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Religious spirits often are coming to the false Jesus. And through Catholicism, even there's false Jesuses, right? Because the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that's not biblical. I mean, that's, come out of there, all the way out. In Jesus' name, rosary, not biblical. Come out, all the way out. Go, go, go. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out. Jesus' name, go. Go, false Jesuses, go. Jehovah Witness, false Jesus. Jesus is not God, the Jehovah Witness. They have a false Jesus. Come out. All the way out. All the way out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come out. Bragging and boasting spirit. Some people like to brag and boast. Come out. All that bragging and boasting. Yeah, all the way out. Show off, bragging, boasting, come out. Come out, showing off, come out. In Jesus' name, want to get attention getting, come out. All the way out. Want people to give you that attention, you feed on that, come out. Attention getting, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. In the name of Jesus. Right now, attention getting spirit, go, go, show off, come out, come out. Try to get attention, go, 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 come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, big mouth spirit, with a big mouth. Yeah, come out, all the way out, all the way out, wanting that attention with the big mouth. Come out, come out, all the way up out of there. Go, 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 come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there, up and out, all the way out, all the way out. Go, in the name of Jesus, you have to go up and out of there. Keep coming out, keep coming out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go. In the name of Jesus, mocking spirit, you come out. Mocking. Come out. Mocking others. Putting others down. Feel better about yourself by putting others down. No, that's not right, you know. You come out of there. We break that spirit. Power. Come out. Mocking spirit. Come out. In Jesus' name. Go. All the way out. All the way out. That mocking spirit. Come out. Come out. Come on. Got to go all the way. Keep coming up out of there in Jesus' name. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Go all the way. Up out, up out. Loose them and let them go. Angels, sword those demons. Sword those demons right now. Come out. Come out. A familiar spirit, plagued by a familiar spirit, a family line spirit. We command that spirit to go. Family line, familiar spirit, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus, come up out of there. Go. Familiar family line spirit, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. We break the curse of that familiar spirit. We command its authority to be broken in your life. We command and cancel its authority in Jesus' name. We command it to be broken and cancel the authority of this demon over you, this familiar family spirit passed down generationally in Jesus' name. You got to go all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Worry, anxiety, go in the name of Jesus. Go. Worrying about this, worrying about that, all the way out, 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 up and out. All that worry, come out of there in the name of Jesus. Go. Right now, laying up worrying at night, worrying during the day, same thought playing itself over, same thing playing itself over and over again in your mind. All that worry, come out in the name of Jesus right now. All the way, all that high anxiety, high stress, come out. High stress, getting worked up over things that need not be worked over, up about. Instead, you just cast all your cares on the Lord, for He cares for you. Are you doing that? Are you carrying the load? The devil have you carry the load instead of cast them on the Lord. He don't want you to know that you can cast them truly on the Lord and leave them with Jesus. Jesus will take care of it. Hallelujah. I believe it. I believe it. I know somebody going to Guatemala, leaving tomorrow on a mission trip and leading the team. So, Lord, we want to pray for that person that's going down to Guatemala tomorrow and be gone for, let's see, a week, ministering down there and leading a team on a mission trip. Father, we ask you to bless this woman and bless her team that's going. Bless them as they go, Father, and protect them from the evil. And pray that you'll just manifest yourself, Lord, through them all, Lord, in a mighty way. So in Jesus' name, we thank you for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We can take thanks to the Lord in prayer. He is faithful. He is faithful. All right. Spirit of arrested development. Command that spirit of arrested development to come out right now in the name of Jesus. Arrested development. Go. That spirit that will not let you mature in some area of your life, some or several areas of your life when you should be mature in those areas. You should be not a child anymore in those areas. You've grown. You're not a child anymore, so physically, so why are you still a child? Well, there's a spirit of arrested development that could be there, keeping you from developing, keeping you from maturing. Come out. Arrested maturity. Come out. All the way out. Go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. All the way out. That arrested development. Hindrance to growth. Hindrance to spiritual growth and physical growth. Come out, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come out. Depression, come out. We break the curse of depression. You come out of it. All the way out. All the way out. Depression. You come out of there. Right now, we're talking to you. Spirit of depression, come out. Depression. I bind you in Jesus' name. I break your grip on people in Jesus' name. Why are you depressed? Well, I just get depressed. I don't know why. Well, you think it might be a demon? Oh, no, it can't be a demon. I remember I told one guy that hey, brother, you got a demon. And he said, oh, no, that's not a demon. No, that's my wife's fault. You know, that's not, no, I don't have a demon. That's not a demon. Yeah, and, you know, he went on and divorced her too, right? So, but, yeah, because he's blaming it, you know, his demon problem on the wife. And, you know, people do. They need a scapegoat. They don't want to face it that they may have a demon. They're looking for put the blame somewhere else. Well, you're not going to get delivered that way. You know, if you have the demons, you ought to, you know, face them and get rid of them. Mhm. So, yeah, why do you have these problems? Well, could it be a demon? Yeah. Well, self-pity could be a demon, that's for sure. Come out, all that self-pity. Come out, poor me, self-pity. Nobody loves me, nobody understands me. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Oh, nobody knows. Yeah, it's so bad. Self-pity, come out, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. All that self-pity, we rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out of there. All that self-pity. All that self-pity. Spirit of self-pity, we are talking to you, devil, go in the name of Jesus. Jesus loves us, but he don't like the demons, and we shouldn't like them either. Don't get so attached to them because they are attached to you. Don't you get attached to them. We need to unattach those demons by casting them out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Self-pity, go, 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 all the way out. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, paranoid spirit, being paranoid, paranoia, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, paranoid spirit, come out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out of there. Spirit of stupor, come out, spirit of stupor, come out, spirit of stupor. We rebuke the spirit of stupor, come out. Uncontrolled tongue spirit, come out of the mouth, all the way out, go, 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 go. Uncontrolled tongue, all the way out. The spirit that is causing you to yield to an uncontrolled tongue, come out of there right now, go, all the way out, come out, come out, come out, come out. The spirit of death. You keep talking death, you come out of their mouth right now. That spirit of death, all the way out. Death over your health, death over your finances, death over your education, death over this, over your stuff. Come out. All that spirit of death, death over your business. We break that curse of death. Don't speak those things out of your mouth. Don't give place to the devil, the Bible says. You do it by the words of your own tongue. Yes, by parroting the demon, come out, come out, come out. Spirit of death, come out, all the way out. We break the curse of death. We break the spirit of death over people's lives. We command that spirit of death out of there. All that death, you got to go in the name of Jesus, all the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name, all that death spirit. Got to go, got to go, got to go right now, all the way. Keep coming, keep coming. The blood of Jesus, spirit of death, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Controlled by death, come out. In Jesus' name, come out, 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 come out. Spirit of arthritis, you come out. Spirit of arthritis, come on, rheumatoid arthritis, come out. Rheumatism, come out, all the way out, right now, go, in the name of Jesus, come out of there, right now, all the way out, I bind you, I break your hold over people, arthritis, go, all the way out, all the way up out of there, in Jesus' name, come out, 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 up and out, come out, all that arthritis, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, keep coming out. Keep coming out, up and out, all that arthritis, come out, in Jesus' name, smoking addiction, come out, tobacco addiction, come out, come on, controlled by tobacco, because you can't put it down, then you're being controlled by it. If you can't put something away, you're controlled by it, right? I mean, think about it. What's got the control in your life? Well, I got to have my cigarette. Well, then that's got control over you, that tobacco spirit, come out. Tobacco addiction, smoking addiction, come out in the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. It's like an alcoholic. They got to have their alcohol. Well, if you're addicted to tobacco, you got to have your cigarette. They have control in your life. Therefore, you're in bondage to it. That's right. I used to be in bondage to tobacco, right? Amen. So I got rid of it, right? Thank you, Jesus, for delivering me. If he could deliver me, he could deliver you. I know what it's like to want that cigarette, okay? That was many, many, many years ago, yeah, before I was a pastor. Yeah, of course. As a new Christian, I overcame the tobacco by the power of Jesus Christ. I couldn't do it on my own. So we command that spirit, that smoking addiction, in Jesus' name, to come out of there, controlled by tobacco, dominated by tobacco, in bondage to tobacco, come out, 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 all the way out, all the way up out of there. In the name of Jesus Christ, we're talking to you, devil. You have to go. Nicotine addiction, tobacco addiction, cigarette addiction, come out. Come out. Chewing tobacco addiction, come out. Come out, all those smoking addiction, we are talking to you right now. You have to go. You are defeated by the blood of Jesus. Go all the way out, all the way up out of there, in Jesus' name, right now. Go, 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 go. We break that addiction. We break the power of that tobacco over you. The spirits come out in Jesus' name. Come out. What do you need it for? You're just wasting your money on it. What do you need that for? Come out. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way up out of there. Up and out. All the way out. In Jesus' name, you loose them and let them go. Father, we thank you for this deliverance tonight. We thank you for sealing this deliverance to people to be able to keep what they get and not go back or let those spirits get in them again once they leave or come back. All the way out. All the way out. Thank you, Lord, for this deliverance. Thank you for delivering people, Father. Thank you for your glory, Father. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Appreciate you so much, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so we come to the end of another time together. So it's time to say goodbye. Till next Friday. The Lord bless you and keep you and minister to you and bless you in every area, meet all your needs. In Jesus' name is my prayer for you, and that you continue to get delivered from every evil work of darkness. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here with us tonight, and that we had a time of, you got two messages tonight. So praise the Lord for that and deliverance. So we went all over the place here. So praise God. All right. Well, good night. We'll see you next week. Amen.
We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And not in despair, not in despair.
That don't be hopeless. Don't give up. It's easy to do. But the Lord is saying, don't be hopeless tonight. And don't give up. There's certain things or people or situations that you been tempted to give up on. Your own life as a marriage, maybe you've been tempted to give up. And Lord just wants to encourage you, don't give up. He's with you, and he will bring things to pass. He will do the work. Just keep trusting him. Don't give up that trust. Don't give up that faith. The devil wants you to. But we don't do what the devil wants us to do. We do what Jesus wants, and he wants you to hold fast. He wants you to keep hoping, keep trusting. Keep leaning on him. Don't lean on your own understanding. No, things are going to work out. Things will get better. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what he wants. And he's telling you, don't be hopeless. Don't give up hope. He wants to encourage you with that tonight. God bless you. Thank you for being here. And Lord bless you. We'll see you back next week. Good night.